Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is your pastor, W.J. Armstrong, apostle, welcoming you to the Now Sabbath Gathering. And I trust that you had a prosperous week and that you have found a way to apply the word to your daily living, including in what you see on TV or what you see in nature. I trust that you can see the hand of God in it, because whenever you look at the Creator, He is the Creator. He created everything. Prior to His creating His creation, He exists before time and space. And I just am looking today to share with you some of my understanding of what I saw in terms of what played out this week in Washington, D.C. It wasn't something that I was even troubled about. I just saw God's hand in the midst. Number one, I saw how conservatism, which is not of Him, when you look at conservatism and you try and line up it with the Word of God, if the fruits of those individuals that was there that doesn't line up properly, individually or collectively. Almighty Everlasting Creator, I ask that you let the Holy Spirit bring us into all truth today, and let it lead us into even a greater understanding of what is happening around us daily, and help us to see You in the midst of it. And You are not a God of confusion, but You are in the midst of it. And those of us who are believers and who have put our trust in You, we find peace in the midst of all of it. And I just thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk a few minutes along this topic. And you may call it the daily sins. Daily sins. But my topic is based on what I heard. I heard the Speaker-elect of the House, he said that what this process they went through, it shows that I will never give up. And I sit with that for a while, and that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, what he said. He didn't say what he was going to be doing while he was not giving up. All the negotiation and everything that went on behind the scenes, and what he had to do. What did he give up? That's just, we don't know what all he gave up. I just know what some of the leaked out, it implies is that he sold his soul. He sold his soul to become the Speaker. And if we look at it in another way, I will not give up, but I will sell my soul to stand or stay. And then if you follow that through down another path, you ask the question, what? What precipitates that statement that caused him to sell his soul an honor to be the Speaker of the House. And I come out to pride. And if we look at it, power, authority, it's not a way to look at it. If he allows that position to define who he is, self, definition of self, was defined by that position. So we have to look at the position. And if we look at that position and begin to dismantle it, power, pride, and all of that comes out of that, the negative comes out. Things for the people. But when you sell your soul to get in that office, you have little or no power to do anything. You become like a yo-yo. Yo-yo. Or a puppet. You're a puppet on a string. I can't remember. There was a song about that. You're my puppet. And then see, what? Keep processing this now. Keep debunking it. And what else do we see? For the sake of power, what the question becomes, what happens when you give your power to get power? What happens when you give power to get power? You empower all those other people with the power that you, that came with the office, that you are trying to get. So your desire, we have to come look at it. It's similar to the veil of sins, and I looked this stuff up biblically. There's no such thing as the three veil of sins. And I'm guilty of saying that until I did my research. And what this thing started with Pope Gregory the First in the late 6th century. He's the one that came up with that category of the seven deadly sins. And one of them is pride, envy, wrath, gluttony, lust, sloth, and greed. That's what he came up with. And I'm not saying that you won't find it in the Bible. You will, but you won't find it in that order. That, and you won't find the three deadly sins. And when you take a look at it, you see three deadly sins for some people. They define them selfishness, lust, and pride. So those three, whenever you look at those three, and then you examine them, what do you come up with? They're all flesh related. And if they're flesh related, in terms of peace that God has given us, it doesn't line up with that. Selfishness opposes faith, lust opposes hope, and pride opposes love. So we have to begin to ask ourselves, am I selfish? Am I selfless? And am I a prideful person? What I'm saying is that when I examine what took place last week, it was just for me. And because I've been saying that conservatism is of the devil because it doesn't line up with the fruits of conservatism, doesn't line up with God's word. It lines up with selfishness, with pride, lust, greed, envy, wrath. I mean, if you can come up with a different analysis, I appreciate it, something that's positive. And I think about it, I had to sit up for a moment, and I said, okay, when I wrote policies for the Secretary of HUD to go to the White House, we had to do pro and con. We had to do positive or negative. Pro or con, that's what it means, positive or negative. And then the administrator, then they left. They understood the consequences of that policy recommendation. So now let's take a look at, we say, deadly sins. Let's take a look at the definition. What is sin? Now, I looked it up. It's an offense against the religion or moral law, and a transgression of the law of God. So now, the daily sins, if they are offenses against religion or moral law, and that's a transgression of the law of God, therefore, the biblical terminology suggests that sin has three aspects. One of them is disobedience, and two, a breach of the law. Go back to Adam. He disobeyed. He was disobedient. He breached the law. God made the statement. God set the law out. And he chose to listen. He disobeyed God because he chose to listen to who? Satan. He and his wife listened to Satan. That can be violation of relationship. Okay. Adam had a relationship with God, and he violated that relationship. And if he violated, what did he do? He rebelled. He rebelled against God. Now, you say, how did that line up there? This man, he had a relationship with the people who voted him in to office. He had a relationship with the people, when I say the people, now these are the citizens that voted. Now he's there with his colleagues. They're all violated in some way, form, or fashion the relationship that they had with the people that voted them in. Whosoever committed sin transgression. Also, the law for sin is the transgression of the law. That's 1 John 3:4, King James Version. Oh, deadly sin, the seven deadly sins. You, I want you to think about it. You turn away from your oath that you took. You took an oath to serve the people. You took an oath to be truthful. And what do? You wind up doing what? Breaking that oath. And then there, whenever, like I've mentioned before, the Bible does not mention daily sins in the sense that we use it. Pope Gregory the First in the 6th century, late 6th century, he's the one who can come up with that category of sin. And see, if not that he's something he pulled completely out of the air, but he categorized those things that cause people to be disobedient. And when we look at it from that term, that perspective, if we look at it that way, then it begins to make sense. Then another pope, in the fourth century monk, he described 8 evils to resist. And then he was the one that came up with it first, and then Pope Gregory the First, he redefined it in terms of 7 and not 8. And almost every sin can be placed in one of the 7 categories. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, it tells us pride and selfishness are related to each other, of the 7, and are viewed as the root cause of all sin. Selfishness and pride are pride and selfishness. Now, we have time. Today, we're just going to do a couple of definitions as well. And what is the meaning of pride? I used to sit in church and listen to the spoken word. I had a problem with the definition with the word that was being used in the definition. So now, let's check pride. Since we're talking about pride, pride is what? The quality of state of being proud, such as inordinate self-esteem, conceit, humility, meekness, love God, love others, appropriate self-worth. Now, that's the counterpart to pride. Proud, being proud, inordinate self-esteem, conceit. So just look around you as what's happening in the earth now and see how what we just said line up with the fruits of the people, the fruits of the corporation, the fruits from the government. And when the government, now remember, government is the people, and those are people that's running government. Therefore, the institution takes on the personality of the people that's running it. And if we sit back and think about it, I was a management analyst at HUD, and I was an analyst in the mental health center, program evaluator. And one of the things that you conclude that I used to tell a person that a group, tell me about the personality of leader, then I'll tell you what your organization is about or what your division is about, and we will point up anything that is needed to make any type of adjustments. Now, let's go on down. Envy. What is envy? Painful or resistful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. I'm not just making this up. This is written in their definition. And you line them up again. We have to look at the fruits. Look at what comes out of people's mouth. Look at that institution that those people are running. And you can tell a lot about that its leaders, as I stated earlier. And, well, I'm going to give you the other one, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruits fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5:22-23. Give you something, a point of reference. I keep saying it doesn't line up with the word. If we just took that and just line up pride and see where it will fall. Line up envy with peace, love, joy, patience, kindness. And now let's go on down to wrath. Strong, vengeful anger or indignation. Counterpart to that is peace, gentleness, self-control. Now, as we think about all of this, the wrath of God or the wrath that's coming out, whenever you look at those actors that was there, and the man needed 218 to become the speaker. Let's just apply the first three, pride, envy, and wrath. Can you identify any one of those individuals that was part of that house, the conservative part, as they call them, the six staunch conservatives? They were bent on destruction. Now, whose job is it to destroy things? That's the devil's job. The devil, he's the one that wants to destruct things, destroy things. And when you look at all of this, and I looked at it and smiled, because I understood who was running the show. It was the devil running the show. You know, some people might not want to accept that. They might want to challenge it, but I hope so. And by you challenging it, I hope you learn something. You either learn that I'm a liar or they're a liar. So now, lust. Definition of lust. Intent or unbridled sexual or desired, usually it's usually related to sex. But lust can be, you can lust after anything. You can lust after your neighbor's car. You can lust after your neighbor's house. It's, you know, your desire, strong desire to have that something that belongs to someone else. And it's all there. They desire to be the speaker. And then greed is the last one we're going to deal with. What is selfish? An excessive desire for more of something. And we always normally think of money as greed. But it don't have to be money. It's more than it's needed. It can be material goods. It can be material things. Greed. Power. Authority. Now, if you look throughout the Bible, you're going to find these specific sins that are addressed in the book of Exodus, book of Deuteronomy, Proverbs, and Galatians. Those are some of the places you're going to find where the deadly sins are identified. See, Exodus and Deuteronomy, you got the Ten Commandments. This is just an example. And I'm not going to go through them. Then in Proverbs, I will read that one. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18-19. We all know what the Ten Commandments, you heard them and all that. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that makes haste to run to evil, witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. That's in Proverbs. And whenever you really line up what you saw, and you line up those actors, even one that wasn't there got into the process, who was the head of the party. And now let's just move along. And we've been mainly talking about the flesh response or the natural response, but let's deal with the spirit. If we look at it spiritually, we see faith, we see hope, and love abide. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13:13. Did we see that anywhere in there? You may want to say the other party, they appear to be united. But the party that was going through, that should have had enough votes on the first go-around, for some reason, the flesh overpowered, or the natural man overpowered the spiritual man. We want to look at it in those terms. You see, if you look at the three daily sins, they lead to death. And now, let's just play around with death a moment. What did I say earlier about in the introduction? I said that for the sake of power, when you give your power to get power, now how are you gonna govern if you gave up all your power to get power? And when you get power, there's no power there when you get that position. So how are you gonna follow through? How are you gonna govern? You have no authority, because from what they said, that if it's approved in the rules of how they're going to govern, that one person can oppose and raise, and that person is no longer in that position, then you have no power. So let's just be real about what we saw. Now, peace, when you look at the other group, and I'm not comparing them, and I don't want to sit here and say that I'm pro-Democrat and anything. I didn't say that. If you want to check me out, you see, I am an independent, and I weigh things based on which one will do the work of the Creator. And my prayer, even before the Holy Spirit leads me, and then afterwards, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit guide them to make their decision based on the Word of God. So I want us to really, really be serious about life, about consequences. Consequences to our action and to actions of others. And as we start to come to a close, because the format is the first 30 minutes, if it takes that long, we present the word, And then we have last 15 or so, we will have a discussion. And then we conclude from today. We can conclude that we should request the Creator as we search ourselves. That's what we need to do first. We need to search ourselves. And as you search yourself, envy, pride, wrath, or any of those there, you need to ask God to replace that. Replace it with love for others and love for you, and to give you, how do I put it? Now, my thing is, I'm asking some people, the question, who do they say I am? Or what do they say that I have done? And in so doing, that helps me to look at me, to evaluate me. And then I said, when I feel hurt, offended, or angry, show me how to positively deal with pain in a way that glorifies, honor others. And also, I used to say that I want to be like Jesus. And that would, if I was like Jesus, then I did not have to worry about all of this other stuff. And then I asked, the other thing is, help me view myself in the proper perspective. Help me to view myself and through the eyes of the Scripture. And, you know, the other one is just in case somebody who's not a believer, who's not following the teaching of Jesus, they too, the message is for you as well. Just help me, help yourself to view yourself in proper perspective. Sit down with a mirror. Then change your heart of stone to reflect the heart of God. And then if what will happen is you will wind up feeling better about yourself. One of the things now I say about people who went to the military, based on my interaction with my cousin, who is a nurse in Virginia, and a parish nurse, who is a nurse in the VA hospital, a VA clinic. My cousin is a nurse in the VA hospital there in North Virginia area, and the parish nurse that's on this radio network, she is a nurse in a clinic in Alabama, a VA clinic. And I conclude that a lot of our brothers and sisters who've been there in the military, who had these various assignments and carried them through, they haven't forgiven themselves. They just need to take a look at themselves and just ask God to forgive them. And I think a lot of their stress will be alleviated. I know whenever I didn't, I wasn't even in the military. My stress was relieved. And look at self and ask God to forgive me. And most importantly, I forgave me. You see, because if we don't, unforgiveness keep us separated from God and others, because we don't love God, we can't love ourselves, we definitely can't love others. So what I'm saying is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8-9, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I want to leave that with you today. Leave that because I found God to be trustworthy. I found God to be faithful. I found God to be understanding. And when we lean not on our understanding, but on God's word, we too find peace because we don't get stressed. We don't worry. I'm not saying that you never going to worry because I'll be lying because I have. But when the word comes to me and I think of it, he said, don't worry. So my thing is, I just quoted, it is written. And whatever is attacking me is causing that situation, I do find a peace in it. And either the situation didn't exist, it was a figment of my imagination, number one. Number two, the solution. I saw the solution and I just opened the door and walked on through it. All I'm saying, we get ourselves all worried about stuff and we wind up digging a deeper hole. The mic is open. We have one person there. Yeah, we have another one and they decided to leave. So hopefully they went to listen by the computer. We just told my those who had called in. And those of you who listen by your computer, I trust that something was said here today that brought you some peace as well. And that if you want to participate in the discussion, the email address is talkingdrums, the number 12, at gmail.com. Send me send me an email, and I will get back to you. And if there is no comment or questions, with our listener that's on, that called in, we will bid you shalom. I don't know why I'm slurring my speech today. I haven't had any distilled spirits. I don't do that anymore. Maybe I'm tired and need to take a nap. So, until next week, we'll be here. And there's a new program coming on to me shortly. Shout. And I'm just going to leave the topic there, the teaser, shout, S-H-O-U-T, shout. And I'll tune in to that program, and you may find something that gives you some hope, or give you some joy, or give you some peace. Or you just may find that you're not alone in your struggles, that there are other people going through something similar. The purpose of Crown Talking Drum is simply to empower you and to challenge you to examine yourself, examine what you believe, why you believe it, and take a look at the origin of that belief. Is it based on the written word? And I'm not sitting up here saying that it has to be the New Testament. No, because even the New Testament itself, it's got some question marks because a testament can't start until after a person has passed. the last will and testament is not written and is not performed while a person is alive. But that's another discussion for another time. And it's just that I want people to think, don't just depend on what somebody told you. Read it for yourself. And that's more than the King James Version of the Bible. I found one, and it is called the Scriptures, the T-H-E, Scriptures, S-C-R-I-P-T-U-R-E-S. And it's published by the Institute for Scripture Research. I found it to be very helpful. And I was flipping the well, the Galatian is closer to the from the Hebrew, and it stated that I saw it in someplace. I have it next week, but it stated that this translation is the closer to the Hebrew, and you even find Hebrew names, the names in Hebrew. The Hebrew terminology is still written in there. And again, the Scriptures, S-C-R-I-P-T-U-R-E-S. And you can get it from a Hebrew bookstore. So again, shalom, shalom.